Welcome back, everyone, to Dates, Mates, and Babies with the Valentins. I know you guys are fired up for today's episode, and we have a good episode coming up for you.
We do. We are continuing in our series on sex today.
Yes.
And so thank you for indulging us. We are enjoying receiving your emails with questions that we're going to hopefully incorporate into our different episodes that we have coming up. But I'm really excited about today's episode. It's actually part one of a conversation about sex, particularly in marriage. So sex and marriage, that's what we're going after today. And we have a couple of our closest friends with us. They've actually been on the podcast before, early days when this was just a pet project.
And now what is it? Is it a beast?
It's like a serious pet project.
It's basically a child.
Yeah. We've got Aaron and Jenna Zint with us. And these two are amazing. They have got three kids. They've been married for almost 15 years. We have the privilege of doing life with them here in Redding, California.
Can I say something about
please
them?
Please do.
Because I think the reason why I continue and we continue to bring them in, I bring Aaron in on my Brave Co podcast, is because these are people that we deeply respect.
Yes.
The way that they live their life, but they're also incredibly knowledgeable in the areas that we're talking about. So Aaron has spent so much time in helping men work through sexual addiction and break pornography addictions. And Jenna spent just so much time in her own life building healthy habits, coaching women, and just helping married couples. And so together, this is like a power pack couple that brings a lot to everything that we do. And so
yes.
I love having them in.
Yes.
And they have a sex life, so.
They do, and they enjoy it, which is great. I just want to say, too, that one of my high values in life is actually having friends who love their marriages mm-hmm. and who inspire me to have a better marriage. Yeah. Like, I just know that one of my, if we're talking about circles of intimacy, like, I'm not going to have, I've realized this about myself, yeah. I'm not going to have people at super close intimate friendship places who don't really love their spouse mm-hmm. and yeah. who don't work on their marriage because I can't afford it. Like I can't afford yeah. to be, I can't afford a lot of friends that don't proactively work really hard on their marriage because it is so much work. And mm-hmm. to have a good one, you just have to really be after it. And so yeah. I'm always inspired by Jenna and Aaron and the work that they do in their marriage and in their family.
Sometimes I yell at Lauren, act like Jenna.
Oh my gosh.
False.
He's oh, never actually funny. Said that, but he might have thought it a couple times. So
why can't you be more like Jenna?
One time while pregnant, I did ask Aaron. It was not my highest moment, but I was like, I bet Jason wouldn't do that. And I learned quickly that does not build connection. Not
I
build
think
connection.
I have blocked that out.
Do you remember? No, it hurt your heart so bad. I was like, I'm sorry.
I'm sure it did. That sounds awful.
Yeah. And then Aaron yelled back, Jay sucks too.
My not word. My finest moment.
Yeah. Well, today, as we talk about sex and marriage, I thought specifically to have the Zints on this episode because of the work that Aaron does, but more than that, because of their intentionality inside of marriage and their commitment to health in this area of mm-hmm. marriage. I really feel like you guys have done hard work over mm-hmm. the years mm-hmm. to get to a place where your sexual intimacy is a real true fruit of the hard work you've done yeah. to build your connection in marriage. And we know that sex inside of marriage is all about connection. Mm-hmm. And so anyways, just yay. And thank you for being here.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
That's such a good line though, too, that it's the fruit, like an awesome sex life is the fruit of a healthy and thriving connection.
Yes.
Versus like getting it. So many people get it backwards, like the horse before yeah. the cart.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, can we take just like 3 minutes and have you guys share what was your first experience with like sex inside of marriage, like the early years?
Yeah, how did it?
Did it meet your expectations?
How was it back then?
Twas the honeymoon night. Was well, yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I would just say like history because I think it's helpful to know what we came into marriage
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
I had no boyfriends, no sexual experience. Oh, I'd kissed one person. So I was like, I killed the purity game. But then I almost think a more accurate description would be I felt I was very asexual. Like totally. There was not actually, it wasn't a lot to manage. I just shut it down entirely.
Love had not been awakened.
Yes.
It was in a coma.
Oh my gosh. So I think a lot of the early years was us untangling that.
That's
and realizing
amazing.
Having to actually go after oh, there's not a magic switch that happens. Like, it's a muscle that I haven't used and I don't instantly know how to do this or be comfortable. I also think it's so vulnerable showing up. And someone, I didn't realize how often I think we all have coping mechanisms when with vulnerability. And mine was to get goofy, which is not a helpful, sexy, not Jason's, a sexy trait.
His favorite is when I get goofy.
I'm like, is it really?
No, he hates it.
Is now you're funny.
Oh my gosh. It might be a girl thing.
Yeah. Now you're a comedian.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's true. I'll do an accent. And he's like, nope. And I'm like, oh, sorry.
I've loosened up. So for me, having had sexual experiences before marriage and having lots of porn experience before marriage, I went into it with so many expectations that I didn't realize were there. Yeah. Like, so you could ask me, hey, what are your expectations? I would have given you the right answer.
I mean, we had this conversation. Oh, yeah. So you did give the right answer.
Yeah. And I did. I just didn't give the most self-aware answer.
Yeah. Got it.
And so there was a lot of disappointment because she didn't, show up the way that my fantasies had always played out.
Yeah.
And one of those being just like, she was actually showing up and going like, hey, we're friends, let's have fun. And I'm like, that's not what this is. You know, this was part of my, like, I'd say a pornographic lens through which I viewed sex in general. And so it was no porn I ever watched was there like goofiness. That wasn't a part of it. And so I think that was super, I know it was very difficult for me and it was very difficult for her because she's like, wait, what am I doing wrong? And I'm like, everything, you know, and through, I'm saying this through my actions and through the,
he was
hurt.
So kind. So he never said it. It was probably slow drawn out pain versus like, we didn't have dramatic insults or anything like that.
Right,
but then the takeaway that I got was I can't show up like myself in sex because it's not sexy. So then there was this disconnect of like, okay, well then, is it an alter ego? I don't really quite know how to be sexy. I know some of it, like the maybe goofiness is over exaggerated, but that's also just authentically who I am. So figuring out like, it almost feels like an onion, you know, it's not clear cut what's dysfunction and what's health. As we both went on that journey, even that Aaron said like he couldn't vocalize, it was like years of, oh, I think my buried question right here is, you know, like pulling back the layers to like, what am I really disappointed at? Oh, is that even a realistic expectation?
Right.
You know?
That's really
good. That's the 3-minute history
of the beginning. We should say
the night of, like, I was like, had all this stuff. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this. And I like got the whole smorgasbord ready for her. And she's like, confused, like, hey, what are you doing? And I was just like, I'm doing all the great stuff. And then basically, like, she's,
I would say foreplay.
I was communicating. You were like, just,
yeah, exactly. Just, well, I was like, yeah, this is what you do. Like, this is duh. But not realizing that comes from somewhere. And if you haven't learned that, even if it was a bad learning, it doesn't come from it. Yeah. Anyways, she goes at one point like, hey, let's do this thing already. Because I was trying all this foreplay stuff. And she thought, well, the intercourse is the main thing. So like, let's do this thing. What I heard was like, I don't enjoy this. Let's get this over with. Because because of all the things that I had. And I also was doing a lot of mind reading all the time. And so, that was a very, very, I would call it traumatic because it did definitely framed the next few years of our life and of things that I held inside and suppressed, and was super sad about. And so,
Wow.
It was painful.
Gosh.
And then to throw on top of it, like physically, well, so I have ADHD, and it means that it's harder for me to concentrate and keep my brain in one spot. So frankly, they actually say, I've listened to some like research about women with ADHD have a harder time orgasming sometimes because how much of a mental focus it is to be present, and it's already hard for us. So we had, I mean, just to speak frankly, we were 7 years into marriage before I ever had an orgasm.
Wow.
So the dynamic.
How did that affect you?
Oh man, there were so many layers. One, I felt like the narrative of already, I'm not good at sex. So then that was like proof of like, I'm just even physically not good at it, let alone being sexy or this persona, you know? And then two, it was just so much reoccurring pain. It's like every time we had sex, I failed. He felt like he failed because I didn't have an orgasm. I felt like I failed because I couldn't get into an orgasm. So even though we had, he felt all the, I don't know, like chemical reaction from it.
I had an orgasm every time. So
it was actually disconnecting, I would say, because it felt like we both failed. And then be so many day, like times afterwards, we just sit and both be sad about it.
It's so horrible.
Yeah. It's the worst.
But then I hadn't heard anyone. The reason I like say it so plainly is I hadn't heard anyone that hadn't had an orgasm. So it was a shame thing. So I wasn't, even though we had all these like vulnerable friendships, I wasn't talking about it a ton. Yeah. And even though, even probably a little bit of shame for him that like, maybe in the narrative that he couldn't get me there with as an orgasm, wanting to cover him. So I probably like that was part of not talking about it. So now I'm like, okay, since talking about it a little more, I hear so many like, I mean, not a ton, but probably like,
it's a lot.
It's a good amount.
There's a lot of people who have years. And I'm like, oh, there's already a, you know, like hormonally, we're so different with what sex gives us. So then to have that gap be even further, it's just, it's a really hard dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Gosh,
that's wild.
Did you guys orgasm like pretty quickly?
I mean, I was fine.
Yeah.
Yes, very quickly.
Yeah, that's
maybe
never been
too
hard.
Quick.
Yeah. That has never been hard for us. I think when I think back to our early years of marriage, I would say I did have boyfriends. I had never had intercourse with anybody, but I had plenty of sexual experiences with different people. Mm-hmm. And so some of that wasn't unfamiliar to me, but I would say I wildly underestimated the difference between sexual experiences outside of covenant and sexual experiences inside of covenant marriage. Mm-hmm. And it didn't take very long for me to realize, oh, these are two different worlds because it's actually not even about the same thing. The context is everything. Mm. So I think we think of ourselves as, and we are, we're created by God as sexual beings, like by nature in his image, we're created as sexual humans.
Yeah.
But the context in which that sexual activity plays out is it makes the meaning of it.
Yeah,
and it is completely different. And so what I noticed very quickly inside of marriage was how much our connection affected my desire for any experience, any sexual experience with him whatsoever, and how incredibly impacted I was by stress.
I would say
that was probably, when I think back to our first couple years of marriage, the physical act of having sex was not difficult for me. I didn't feel overly vulnerable in sex either. I felt comfortable in my vulnerability. I felt frustrated by how different our sex drives were.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And I felt frustrated that he wanted something inside of our marriage that I felt too stressed or too tired to give.
Yeah.
And I was frustrated by the dynamic. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even really mad at him about it. I was almost like, God, why did you make it like this?
Jenna has said that.
I was like, when I get
to
heaven, I'm going to ask him a couple questions. And one of them is that.
And one of, I mean, I could tell you, like we took a pre-marriage class where we talked about how men and women are created differently and they're motivated by different things. And you're going to find that inside of marriage, la, 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 la.
And I'm like, I don't know. She's a frigging cougar. She's all over me.
No. Isn't that true, though, before marriage?
Before marriage. Oh,
you just get such a wildly different idea than what's reality.
There's just so much anticipation.
Women are so deceiving.
Oh, my gosh. Honestly.
Yeah, that's the takeaway.
That's why I call her Eve now.
Oh, my God.
Oh. But I do, you know, the concept about mental load and how women carry so much, I think that is part of what plays into the stress that even though we're both in the same house, the hard to get present, too, it's almost like the luxury of getting to that space where you have capacity to, like, connect sexually when we don't have the hormones that they do. I'm like, it is hard.
It is really hard. And I think that when I look back on it, there was a lot of years where I wasn't actually positive my needs were going to get met. And I, not because I didn't trust him.
I'm sorry, sexual needs?
Or no, just needs in general.
Yeah, yeah.
So like we, obviously when we got married, we had three kids. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, there wasn't a day and an ex-wife in the picture and work and family and all the things. But I just remember feeling like, how am I supposed to even think about sex in this context?
Right,
I can barely disconnect from these children, much less my own brain that's wrapped up in all of these, the mental load, the details of life, the adjustment that I was in the middle of, and then feeling like, I was shocked by how uninterested I was most of the time. And when I look back on it, I think a lot of it had to do with, well, it's that difference between, like, Jason really, really does feel most connected to me after we've had sex. Mm-hmm. I don't need sex in order to feel most connected to him. Mm-hmm. And in those early years, I was so unsure if he was going to actually meet my deepest emotional needs. Like, I had a lot of fear of having to, like, carry all the load myself. Yeah. I had a lot of fear of being alone mm-hmm. in the weight of life. Yeah. I was scared that I was going to drown in mm-hmm. all of our responsibilities, and that he, just being wired differently than me, wasn't carrying the list in his head. Mm-hmm. And so then I would be by myself. So there was a lot of questions that were causing me to wonder if I was going to be taken care of. And so my desire to connect with him sexually was so low because I was trying to figure out if I even respected and wanted. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like I was literally asking myself, do I even respect him? It wasn't that, but there were these underlying questions.
All unconscious.
Underlying questions and fears probably mm-hmm. that were causing me to, like, just, my sex drive just sunk to the mm-hmm. bottoms of the oceans of life. It was just gone. Mm-hmm. And so the frustration about that. So when in that, even just thinking about those early years, I think when we talk now to married couples, having been in it for 13 and having seen a lot of change in that area, I do think that sex inside of marriage is so misunderstood by so many people, especially in the church, and then especially in the young years of marriage.
Mm-hmm. Well, would you say? Yeah, I think that, and it's a lot of what Aaron talked about in the very beginning, is we live in such a hypersexual culture mm-hmm. that where we're getting messages all the time about what sex is going to be. Mm-hmm. And that message is, sex is going to be, it's going to be fast. It's going to be intense. It's going to be
exciting.
Mm-hmm. The woman is going to be all crazy and all over you mm-hmm. and, you know,
overwhelmed with desire.
And, you know, these are going to be the best moments of your life. And everyone's, you know, they're ruining families to have more sex mm-hmm. and guys are, you know, spending tons of money on it. And I mean, that's what we get fed. That's what our culture is fed, is mm-hmm. that sex is the ultimate fulfillment life for both of you. And then in our dating experiences are like that. It's like, because you can't have it. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you want it so bad. Yeah. And mm-hmm. you get to the moment so many times of where you're like, both abstaining, but by your fingernails, like barely abstaining. Yep. And whew, wasn't that close.
Yeah.
And and you don't realize that you're living in a world that's not real.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not fully real. You're not carrying the responsibility. Yeah. You didn't just go poop 2 minutes ago.
Sorry. Not,
yes. Totally.
Or could you brush your teeth real quick?
Yeah. Totally.
You didn't have... Yeah. You know, the conversation earlier about, you know, why do I have to remind you to take out the trash? And, you know, why'd you talk to me like that? And why are you so over-responsible for the kids? Well, we didn't live in that. We're not living in that world. And so we're living in a slice of perfection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where in perfection, you know, in Hawaii, Lauren and I don't have to ask ourselves, you know, are you ready? It's like, well, there's no pressures. And
oh my gosh, vacation sex is the best. Yeah. Without kids, but you're saying that. Oh,
it's amazing. Yeah. But no we pressures. Don't live in that. And so we get back to Lauren, and I think you should tell the story. Eventually, where we kind of ended up is we hit like year, I don't know, three or four. And I was really struggling with a lot of anxiety, a lot. Mm-hmm. And Lauren, which hiked her anxiety up because her hyper-responsible, over-responsible, and, you know, our world with the ex-wife and sharing kids back and forth. And, you know, it was this perfect mix of, I wanted sex because of how that helps my anxiety mm-hmm. and makes me feel connected to her, just my sex drive alone. So those two things. And she is like desperate to solve all the other things and just cannot wait to get a moment alone without me there, and doesn't fully trust me and is wondering, like, what the heck is my life? And I think you coming to this place where you're like, what is sex? Why do we have to have sex? Like, I remember you your honesty and vulnerability telling me, like,
why is it important?
I don't know why we have to have sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you say it really soft? So no. It wasn't okay. No. I was like, because that question could feel like inviting kindness or like shut, like devastating.
It wasn't at him. Okay. It was just more of like, ugh, like I'm just kind of at the end of my rope crying. Here. Mm. Yeah, it was in tears, and I just remember feeling like, why is sex even important? Why does it even matter? Which I actually thought would be a kind of a cool discussion question, even for this episode, is like, okay, on the other side of that crisis of faith of sorts, like, why is it so important? What would we want people to know about? Why is sex and marriage so important?
Well, I think in the beginning, like, you're asking that question because it was so painful.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's a, like, that's a valid question. And so that's why I love this question a bunch.
It's important. I actually think that if you did at the, if I understood really deeply at the beginning of our marriage, why sex was so important, it wouldn't have taken so long to get to a place where we really had a thriving sex life.
Yeah. And also having an answer versus avoiding asking the question that would be painful feels so different. You know, like, oh, I know why versus like, oh, don't ask that, 'cause that could unravel so much and be so hard.
Aaron, you want to take a stab at it?
Oh man, this trying to like really dissect that, it feels difficult. The first thing that comes to mind is just thinking about the marriages I know of that don't have it. And what is, so I go like, okay, what's missing in a marriage that is sexless? And there is this sense that, you know, we say in the pre-marriage class that we teach is, sex is meant to be the exclamation mark on the end of the sentence, I am loved and connected to you.
Mm. Wow,
and
that's
so
good.
This, without that exclamation mark, like you can have a connection, you can have this intimacy, but there is a sense that that intimacy is, like sex is this gift that when you unwrap it, when it's like wrapped in intimacy and connection, there is something new there. There is a level of like just on a physiological level, getting the kind of hormone dump that it does release with, in like you said, context is everything, with this person who you are, who you love and are connected with. It actually does deepen the relationship in a way that, you know, few things in life can actually do that. And so there's a, I think, a strengthening that happens with sex when you do it from a place of love and connection and safety. And I think there is, I think on a physiological level, like it really does like help. Again, context is everything. It does help. Like when you have a lot of things going on, certain people will respond differently. But I know for me, it is this sense of like, things are okay. Like the world's going to be all right. And it is just like a moment of just going like reprieve, but it's when we feel connected that I can experience that afterwards. So
I love that. Yeah. I think on a physiological level, we know that like endorphins are released and oxytocin is released and dopamine is released and serotonin, you know? And so like, all those chemicals are causing you when you orgasm to bond together. And so like literally when I am orgasming and when Lauren is doing the same thing, like it literally is creating a bond between us over and over and over again, where not only is she getting the deepest parts of me emotionally, but on a chemical level, I am bonding my life to hers and her life to mine over and over and over. And we're having this incredible experience together. You know, our sexual relationship is one of the only things in my life that I don't share with anybody else. It's, she is the only person that I target at that level of
target.
Giving,
I feel targeted.
You should.
He is a hunter. Hunter.
Listen, David, it is very
sometimes
much a target.
I'm like,
and like we have had lots of conversations where, you know, Lauren will be in a different headspace than I am for, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 days, and maybe we felt a little bit disconnected, and I'll have to remind her like, you're the only person on the planet that I can point my sexual affection and drive and hunt. Like I am on the hunt. You're the only person in this world that I get to do that with. And I manage all, I use all of my mind, my strength, my willpower to deny what I want all day long mm-hmm. and point it towards her.
Yeah.
Because your sex drive is, I think you've said this before, is this, it's not, it's a directionless energy.
100%.
That part of us being made in the image of God is we actually get the ability to point that intentionally without letting it run our lives. So the rest of the animal yeah. kingdom is right. with the next thing that is moving, you know, mm-hmm. in my species, but even humans don't stick to that all the time.
Oh my gosh.
But we have the ability more than anything else to go, oh, actually I'm going to direct this one way, which actually is the hardest thing in the world because it's really saying no to the infinite other ways that I could direct this. So it's, 100%. It's a beautiful gift, I think, to be able to say, like, you get this and you get this alone. And but that's also what makes it one of the most frustrating thing is when I withhold for the infinite other possibilities and it's missing from this one thing that is, like, the possibility. That's a painful experience.
But when you start to think about what the act of sex requires in order for it to be life-giving to both people... you start to really understand God's design around it because it would be so different if her and I just wanted it the same. Mm-hmm. It's if we had $100,000 to spend in a day, it would be like, well, no, none of us are really sacrificing.
Yeah.
We just have tons of it and tons of money and we just want to go out and spend it in a day. It's like, wow, it's only fun. But the fact that it is highly complicated mm-hmm. in order for us to strategically come together over and over and over again and have this moment be life-giving, mm-hmm. it has made me have to be very incredibly thoughtful of her. It puts me in a place where I'm serving. It puts me in a place where I'm not actually thinking about me. It was initiated by me thinking.
Right, yeah.
It was initiated by my sex drive, which is why I love that men have sex drives, because if we didn't, we would be gone. We would be chasing something, honestly. Yeah. But my sex drive drives me back home, right? And it makes me now think about her. If I want to, if I really want to satisfy this drive in me, now I have to do things that are outside of my normal. Mm-hmm. I have to connect with her emotionally. I have to listen to her fears. I have to be patient and vice versa, right? Like it's forcing her to do something that she probably wouldn't do outside of, well, it'd be so much easier for her to, you know, do the practical things, the dishes, the whatever. I mean, spreadsheets, run a business, whatever women do. I don't want to just keep it whatever to the dishes. Right?
Say, I mean, those things are all accurate of Lord. Yes.
Run a business,
take care of the kids.
Yeah.
But our sex life brings her and me back to this place where now we are negotiating this relationship on a level that is very intimate and very purposeful. It's the one area in our life where if we do it right, it's like dancing. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We get better and better and better and better. And you only know me and I only know you on this level.
Yeah.
It's sacred.
It is. And I think I hear a lot of there's a gripe amongst women when you talk about the husband does this and this and this so that he can get sex. And I think I want to dispel that a tiny bit and kind of just go, you know, probably if Jason could shut off his sex drive at times, he would, because it would be, sometimes it would be easier.
Oh yeah.
If he just didn't 100%. Need that. And so I want to be like, well, listen, like if you have a hungry tummy, there's work that you do in order to satisfy the hunger feeling. You go to the kitchen, you make yourself something to eat. If you have enough money, you DoorDash, whatever. Like you do something in order to satisfy the hunger that you have. And you could look at it like he's checking all these boxes just so that he can ... have sex. But the truth is that any need that we have, it doesn't just come by us with no effort. Like most of the needs that we have in maturity, we actually figure out a way to make sure that we're healthily meeting the needs that we have. And inside the context of marriage, I just think it's good. It bears repeating that, like, in the context of marriage, if things are working as they should, then there's this exchange that happens that actually invites us into deeper connection. I think about what you said at the beginning, babe. You said, that, or maybe it was you, Aaron, one of you said that, no, it was Jenna. You said,
winning.
You got there.
That connection, it is, oh my gosh, this is hilarious. I actually said it.
Yes, I know. I was like, I think she's about to quote herself.
I'm sorry.
It was brilliant.
I'm not even taking this out. I'm
We're
sorry,
not editing this. This is for comic
She's
relief.
She's not even, she oh, isn't drank at
connection
all.
Connection is the main thing. Yeah. And a good sex life is the overflow of a deep connection. Well, if you work that backwards, then you actually choosing to aim yourself at one and only one person ensures that you will be schooled in the area of learning how to have a great connection. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise your sex life is going to be really painful. So the choice is get great at having a robust, connected, thriving marriage, and then you can have a great sex life.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, and the fact that there's a reward for all that work is amazing on both ends.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I think that was a big shift for me when I realized I was almost keeping score. Like not on purpose, it was subconscious, but like, did he do enough for me to do this for him? And actually just realizing how unhelpful that mindset was, like anything, not even just sex life, in marriage, keeping the like, has he done enough or have I done enough? I think even just applying for me, like, oh, like offensively, like being gracious in all areas, including this, where it's not, it doesn't have to be even in order for both of us to show up as our best selves. But then the ironic catch 22 is when one of you decides to just go after like showing up extravagantly as love, even if it's outdoing the other person, then it ups the standard. 100%. So then it goes from being self-protection, self-serving to like, how can we get better at love? How can I get better at loving you better? And it just changes the game. So I think that actually was a mindset shift in all of our marriage, probably like 5 or 6 years in, but that really changed our sex life too, is realizing I'm not actually self-protecting anymore because that hinders our connection and hinders our sex life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, one carries resentment with it and one has vision.
Yeah,
right. Like I'm resentful when I'm keeping score.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, but I have a lot of vision when I'm going, hey, it doesn't matter. There are some seasons when Lauren has pulled me up the hill and some seasons where I've carried her along. In this last season, you know, like I carried Lauren along. Her mom died in the very beginning of our marriage. You know, she pulled me up a lot of hills, and because we have a vision, right? We're going like, this is where we're going. But I think the resentment, like when we get into the place where we're resentful and keeping score, which is so easy to do in marriage, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like out of this place of there's not enough, you know, my needs aren't going to get met and I'm not being taken care of. I don't know how to talk about it. That's
love doesn't thrive there.
Like, right.
Doesn't. Yeah. And it just becomes this graveyard of our dreams, right? Mm. Of our marriage. It becomes this graveyard for us. Uh-huh. So yeah, it's good. I think, you know, the natural question for married couples is what's permissible, right? And especially, I think, especially coming out of a background for a lot of men where you're looking at pornography and then you get into this, and not that women don't, but, and then you get into this place in the marriage bed where you're like renewing your mind and, or like for women, at least, it could go both ways where maybe you've never done anything at all. And so, you know, what feels dirty to you may feel like first base to me. Right.
Sure.
And it's like, well, do we have to stay in missionary position forever? Because that's what healthy sex is, right? Like that's safe. And
totally.
So I think there's a lot of confusion around what is permissible and what's not permissible and how to navigate that. Because I think unresolved expectations lead to a lot of pain inside of marriage, and being able to really talk through what's permissible is I think a key for couples to thrive.
So we would start, you know, to answer that question by saying that like agreement and mutuality in sex is, I mean, that's kind of the heart behind sex, is not that you come to receive, like I'm going there to get what I want, which is what, you know, pornography is, but to actually give. And so, as long as that the mutuality there where you both go like, hey, this seems exciting. This seems fun because, and we're both like headed towards this. This sounds great together. So we start there. Like if one person's like, eh, I don't know about that. And it's off the table. And I remember thinking for a long time, there was a number, obviously with porn, there's like, you know, so many like quote unquote options, but, asking Jenna about a couple of the things that I was like, maybe we could try this. And she's like, eh, I don't know about that. And I remember this, like, is such a, like, now I can see kind of a demonic kind of experience that was happening inside of me, or at least influenced by it, was this like, I shouldn't have to give that up. Like, I shouldn't have this entitlement. And like, it was so self-centered and so like focused on me. And that built resentment in me towards her. Like, if she could just fix all of her qualms with sex and she could heal from all of her whatever, you know, then we'd be so much further along. This could actually be fun. We could actually enjoy this. But so that kind of came up in me when something was off the table, but I think that was looking back is a really good opportunity to go, oh, there's some things that need some healing in me to go like, no, I deserve this, you know, because you don't. But so I would say as both people, we've tried things.
Wait, can before. I oh, go ahead. Off that? I was going to say, well, the interesting part for me, the first couple years of marriage of like what's permissible. I think sometimes I like to just think when I notice things are like, repeat in my head, start to question them. Like, where did they come from? Is that a helpful belief or unhelpful belief? So like, while we'd be having sex, different things, I'd be like, oh, this is dirty. Or, oh, and I was like, oh, so I just kind of sat with it for a little bit rather than just like taking it as truth and be like, what else is true? Like, what else is going on inside of me? I'm like, well, actually I haven't had much sexual experience. So I'm wondering if instead of dirty, unknown, is that, could that be like
reframing
maybe,
it, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and then actually being honest with myself, I was not trying to strong arm myself into being okay with it. And I didn't actually feel that pressure from Aaron. But internally, like, if you have no experience in this, then how do you know, like, where is your, like, where is this coming from? And then just, like, then there are some things that as I went on that journey of, like, I wonder if I'm just not comfortable, like, because of not having a lot of experience in general. And then kind of, I actually stopped thinking this is dirty because I realized that is unhelpful in thinking about our sexual connection anyways. So more of like, do I feel comfortable? Do I feel safe? Was a question that actually bred more like intimacy than I think like shaming things too. So it just was helpful for me like, oh, actually a lot of my experience when I started looking at the factors rather than just what I felt to be true was like, oh, actually, like, I think I get to grow in this because I don't really know what this is like very much. And then,
I think what you hit on a good point, like taking some of the judgmental, like this is or this isn't, and more going like, hey, what am I experiencing right now? The curiosity behind that is really good.
Even because like you took the judgment out of what, like judgment towards me, but still should or shouldn't. And that's kind of a true narrative in our marriage where like maybe he'll do blame more and I do, yeah, you're right. It is my fault. I do self shame. So like having that pattern show up in our sex life wasn't surprising, but actually noticing that too, like,
Interesting. And then then you can go, okay, well, if both people, if nothing's like inherently bad and if both people agree, then can things like porn be introduced? Can you know, and you can add a bunch of different options there. But I was thinking about this kind of question, I think, you know, you could ask like, hey, if everyone at a party, at a birthday party, agrees on something, like we're all gonna jump in a bouncy house, that's gonna be great, you're like, okay, everyone agrees, let's do this. But if everyone's like, let's do heroin together, there are things that regardless of mutuality are going to hurt you individually. I have a strong opinion about porn because of the industry, because of the content, because of what it does and how it shapes the mind
of all the men you work with.
I've been just like swimming in the sewage of people's experiences. So I personally would say, yeah, if you both agree, like there's that would fit this criteria. However, I don't bring stuff into our life period that I know is damaging to me or her. So
you're saying it just wouldn't be helpful. Doesn't actually matter if you both agree that long term.
Yeah, this is definitely, I feel strong about that. Yeah.
I would say the more interesting, to get back to the early part of our marriage where I didn't orgasm for a long time, we actually, we tried vibrators, which is interesting. At first, I think some of the narrative I felt was like, oh, that's inappropriate or like outside of God's intent. Like I probably made some religious mindset, maybe heard some of it.
Heard people go, if it didn't... if it wasn't in the garden, then you don't need it.
Yeah. Okay. Or some of that mindset. But then I guess lube would be out as well. So. Which, thank you, Jesus. We get that.
Good point.
But
there are probably coconuts in the garden. So.
But I had to work really hard to help that help out.
Yeah. Nothing's going to happen for the moment.
No. Let me press this oil.
But for us, what we found is that was one of the big hurdle or helpful points in me with my ADHD and having a really hard time focusing was using a vibrator. But early in, I think when we were deciding whether or not we were going to try it, we just were like, what are the parameters that would keep it in a spot that feels safe and helpful for our connection?
Yeah.
And that was, own, like our basic ones are, we don't use it. No one uses it individually. We don't use it for masturbation. So it's only in the context of when we're having sex, and then Aaron uses it. So just things that make it feel like a tool for our connection versus honestly someone's individual pleasure to me. So it's like, I think I normally feel a little hesitation saying it because I think a lot of times people think of them as individual pleasures or I don't need you to get my needs met, but it's actually not at all how we use it.
Right.
And it's been so helpful. Like that,
it was a game changer for us.
Being able to 100%. Equally experience what an orgasm feels like is like, I could get teary. Like it feels like that was one of the major shifts in me enjoying sex more.
Yeah.
Even if I don't have the same natural drive that he had.
She actually gets something out of it for the first time that it always felt like we would show up to this dinner and I'd be getting served steak and she'd be eating like tuna and crackers.
Or just drinking water.
Or drinking water,
enduring.
Yeah, enduring.
I'm just gonna fast while you
She's like, she was happy to, she said, I would like, well, I want to, you know, I want to meet your needs. I want to take care of you. But it's sad for me. Like, even though, yes, I get an orgasm, so I get the dopamine dump, but I'm sitting there knowing like I'm eating steak in front of you. And so this was the first chance that she could taste the steak and I go, it's great, right? And she's like, it's so good.
And I'm thinking of more things that I would say permissible. I know that some couples do like hot pitchers to each other and we've tried it once or twice, but we have almost had them screencasted literally in a Bethel staff meeting and it connects my phone. I was like, whoa, whoa. So then panic very few times does it feel worth. I'm like, cause then when you delete it and it's like, how did it end up in my iCloud when it was deleted over here? So I'm like, so maybe
you
before
have to be
those,
really
you have to be super intentional with that. Yeah.
So I would say it's not permissible, but how uncomfortable I feel with the unknown of accidentally slipping out somewhere is not something we do a ton. What about you guys? Are there anything that you would say?
It's a good question. Jason was very, at the beginning of our marriage, I don't know if it was because of just sensitivity to, Jason walked out of a porn addiction when he was a teenager. So there was some, a lot of drive to protect the purity of sex in marriage.
Sure.
And so there wasn't a lot of experimenting that happened in the beginning. And a lot of that, I don't know if you'd agree, but I felt like me being the more of the one that's kind of like, I don't know, you tell me. Like, I had never had sex before. I wasn't sure. I was kind of going off of, what he said was good and normal.
Man, I should have set a different bar. This is normal.
But we can start down here.
And he actually had a really tight,
parameters,
tight parameters on, what was actually helpful for us and what was okay for us. I feel like as we've grown in our intimacy and in our trust with one another and even in our own understanding probably of what we need and how this really works for us, I feel like things have relaxed a bit. In regards to, I would basically agree with your definition, Aaron. It comes down to, I think, what is good for the both of you. And there's not a long list of off limits things, right?
Like
there's not a lot of things that are off limits. If you want to, I think for me, another, like maybe it seems like a no brainer, but even porn fits into this category for me is like, nobody else gets to be involved.
Right. Yeah.
No other person gets to be involved in our sex life, whether they're on a screen or whether they're in a memory that I have or whether they are some person that literally is on the street that I invite into my space that we're not doing that. Nobody else gets to be a part of this. The Bible's very clear to me about
100%
about this being between a man and his wife. And that is all. And so I think that's probably where my parameters lie.
Yeah.
Those are my boundaries.
Yeah. I would say we've expanded a decent amount. Like I was, I struggled a lot for a very long time with masturbation, and it was to the point where I couldn't stop.
When he was a teenager.
As a teenager. And so, you know, for a lot, even when in my divorce, I didn't masturbate at all, wow. you know, after being sexually active for 10 years, mm-hmm. I just went, nope, not doing that.
He has a pretty addictive personality. And so he has an incredible amount of self-control, but he, wow. he puts up like funny. High yeah. safeguards.
Yeah.
He puts up really high safeguards.
Your addictive personality, I'm instantly thinking to the hours time flies in your garage where like I come over and hang out and you're still in the garage. Bye, Jason. Like 4 hours
no
later.
No doubt.
Yeah. And so I would say that that's changed, you know, like our ability to, cause you don't have to have intercourse every single time,
right.
but there's lots of different ways to have an incredible sexual experience. And even when she's gone in a way, like that's what FaceTime's for. And at least for us, like that's helped. Yeah. We can still
but
have
that
our,
was off limits for us for a long time. We yeah. did not do that for a really long time. I would really say that it's been in progression with trust for each other and trust for ourselves. It's like, I think yeah, Jay had to grow good. In trusting himself.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
Some
that's
of those
good.
Areas where he knew he's prone to addiction. He knows mm-hmm. that he's, you know, he has high standards in this area for himself. So I think it was like, what does it look like to protect the core values in the context of sex and marriage? And I think over time you just learn. Yeah.
Yeah.
That we can't. We do trust yeah. ourselves.
Well, what I've also seen too in just in men is like there's this insatiable, never satisfied thing, right? Mm-hmm. That like if I do this, then I have to do this. And if I do this, then I have to do this. And so I just know in me, like I didn't want to open a door that I had a hard time closing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And yeah. so that was like we would try. I remember just trying something and just seeing like, you know, a couple months, like what happened? What did mm-hmm. that bear? Was that okay? Did that hurt our connection or help our connection? Did I feel convicted about it? Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, like the Bible says that the marriage bed is undefiable, right? Like as long as you're not forcing yourself on your wife, bringing in pornography, you know,
when there's not lust involved.
Yeah. It's like, there's a lot of things that we're able to do, but not everything's like beneficial.
Right.
Yeah. And so being able to, and that's going to be really different for different couples, mm-hmm. really, really different. You know, a man or a woman who's experienced abuse may have a much harder or tighter yeah. tolerances than someone who never yeah. has before. And so to me, the main thing and the fun thing about this is we get to go on a journey mm. of talking. It forces us to talk. It forces us to work out what really works and what doesn't work and what do we both feel good with.
Yeah. Like our repertoire had to expand when we started having babies because all of a sudden, I just remember that's kind of where we started to get a little bit more creative. For years and years, it was like yeah. we were trying to have babies forever and that didn't work. So that brought another element for us of like pain inside yeah. of sex. Like it's fun to have sex when you're trying to have a baby, except for when it takes
year.
1, 2, 3, yeah. 4, 5, 6, 7. It's just like so wow. long yeah, that wow. that actually became really painful. Mm-hmm. Then when we did get pregnant, that was kind of the first time where I was like, oh, actually, if we're going to maintain a healthy or work on having a healthy sex life mm. while I'm pregnant and having babies, then we're going to need to change things up a little bit because, mm. you know, that's just a big initiation into the reality that your sex life in marriage changes so much
yeah.
over time and through different seasons of marriage.
Yeah.
That's so true. There's like a shift that happens seasonally. Actually, even just logistics, some of the biggest shifts for us have been logistically like, I think I'm a habit coach. I think yes. of them in terms of a habit. So I think of like habits around sex that have shifted a lot. And just one is daytime sex mm. where I realized that a lot of the pain, because it feels sad if you want sex and I don't, like that just rejection is yes. painful. Different. I think like as we've gotten healthier, it's less
yeah.
dramatic as it, more than it used to be. Mm-hmm. But I realized a lot of the pain was just like, I'm useless after 8 p.m. Lauren can attest. I fall asleep while standing up sometimes.
In the middle of small group.
So having intimate sex that means so much and your partner falls asleep is not connecting or does not give good feedback. So then it was this, can we actually try for like, I think we did, when I like test drive habits, I'm like, can we try it for 2 to 3 months and see what grows? Because a lot of times people assume they know what it's going to produce.
Yeah.
But like we actually have to do it long enough to get data versus 2 or 3 times and there's too many variables.
Yeah.
So we did it. We're like, can we try doing daytime sex? So that obviously usually means weekend, weekends for a while to see if that just eliminates some of the disconnect that we're experiencing. Mm-hmm. And it has been such a game changer. So that was one. Just
yeah, Jenna didn't fall asleep once during daytime sex.
Also, like just a bit of maybe like dread's too strong of a word, but like resistance or like one more thing to do before I get to go to sleep.
Yes.
When she's so tired.
Yes. It changes. I'm like, oh, actually, I don't feel that. I don't have resistance against sex. I have resistance about not going to sleep, you know?
Yeah.
So that was huge for me, untangling that. I think a lot of times just noticing what's logistics that could be changed versus our sexual connection.
Yeah. Roadblocks to connection.
Yes.
What roadblocks to connection factors can you remove?
So then the other thing was actually, so then we're like, okay, we're just going to have sex during the weekend. And then realizing if we didn't nail down a time, it would be a hope. And then I'm thinking Sunday afternoon, but he's not sure if it's going to happen. And his anxiety
I was thinking
of like,
Saturday at
like
10
as soon as possible.
Well, then he's following you around.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So then it was like, oh, and then too, if you have busyness, like it's just sadness that built in. We're like, oh, what if we actually agree Thursday or Friday on when we're going to have sex so that it's a shared agreed upon and it's not like the
anxiety
disappointment.
Provoking.
Yes. So that solved that. And then of course it's not this hard contract, but an awareness if the kids are, or something's going awry and we're 30 minutes or an hour, we both know that we're working towards the same goal versus like, there'd be so many misses that were like, I just thought we were present at the playground. And Aaron's like, I was waiting for you to wrap it up. I didn't want to be at the playground.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's so easy. That's not actually about our sexual connection. That's just logistics. And then for me, another thing is realizing that our friend Michelle is so great about she's almost spun it on its head of like, you know, this motivates your husband. So in a beautiful way, use it to motivate the things that like to help, like be proactive with it, not like resist.
Subject to it.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
She's so good about it.
Yeah.
So then I realized that earlier in the weekend we had sex, the different man that I got for the rest of this. So like, hey, do you want to go swim at the YMCA before sex? Is like, are you kidding? But after sex, sure. And I'm like, oh my gosh, is it really this simple? So for us, like earlier on day planning about it, I was trying to think, oh, another thing is most of the time, like going from elaborate foreplay to if we don't feel super connected, most of the time our connection looks like naked talking about our weeks. Cause he
it's
gets
my favorite way to communicate.
Yeah. Totally.
And it's my true. Favorite of like, oh, we don't actually have a ton of time to do both. So like, it's not you win or I win with connection. We actually both feel a little more connected before we like go into like more versus like jumping into foreplay when I feel no connection. So, I would say that's probably, do you have any other ones that you think?
No,
those have been game changers.
Yeah, that's like so helpful.
Helpful. And so, and it's funny cause in my habit class, we just had this relationship week and I was like, plan sex. And a lot of people instantly, because I think of this Hollywood narrative of like you being overwhelmed with desire. So you can't schedule that cause it's the healthiest if it's bubbling up organic.
Yeah.
But the idea for us, it's like, it's not limited to we can only have sex then. Anything else feels like you're like a cherry on top.
Oh,
so then I feel like a stellar wife, even if it was a quickie, and like at some point. So it's actually really been so helpful.
That's great.
Being like,
those are great guys. Those are great.
Yeah.
Really great tips. Anything you want to add?
I just think over time, you know, you have babies.
Mm-hmm.
And babies is a complete game changer.
Yeah.
To a woman's body doesn't feel good, and so like navigating sex while first being pregnant, you know, the first trimester for a lot of women is tough, and you have to talk about that stuff because if you don't talk about it, somebody's going to be resentful, and if I'm trying to have sex with you and you're like, do you not see I just threw up? A guy could probably not care.
Oh, gosh.
Because a guy could be sick and he's like, I'm still good.
It's
like,
on the table? Great.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
he's like, I'll just put a t-shirt over my face.
Yeah.
I've cop got strep throat. Just
so true.
Like, I really
have your way with me, Lauren.
Yeah. It's true. I will.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
Yeah. And there's just all kinds of funny,
so many stories.
Yeah, funny things in my mind. But that breeds a lot of resentment. But, you know, after Lauren had Edie, we couldn't have intercourse for
a year.
A year straight.
I had so much pain.
Oh,
I had
my
a
gosh.
Lot of scar tissue from from.
Did
tearing.
You go see a specialist?
Well, it took me a while. Yeah, I did. I went around. I did a few things.
Okay.
Like, I worked pretty hard at it for the year. well, I'll say this, unfortunately, and this is for any women listening, I waited too long. Like, I actually just thought I was healing because I'd never had a baby before. And I had torn pretty bad. So I was like, well, yeah, I mean, a whole baby came out of there. Yeah. It's probably ravaged. Like, it's probably just absolutely
she clawed her way out of like, that.
We broke it.
I'm like, well, makes sense to me. I don't understand how something that big could come out of a hole that small. Yeah. You know? And the truth is I just went too long.
Yeah, without taking care of it.
I thought it was normal.
Yeah, totally.
And I just didn't realize. And so it took me like 6 months to go, wait a second, this is actually taking longer than it should or could. Yeah. So then I started doing, I did some pelvic floor physical therapy, and I did, what actually ended up helping a ton was I did some supplements to help with my, a lot of the trouble was my hormone levels. Didn't get back to normal as quickly as they could have or should have.
Yeah.
Hormones helped a lot.
I think it's so practical because if you don't have a friend that you're talking about these things as honestly, not realizing that a physical therapy and then hormones could
those
solve.
Two things.
Well, and like a woman's body is super complicated. Like you need healthy bacteria inside there that like helps to
So the part of the issue with my hormones not replenishing was that I didn't actually have, it's so crazy how it's all connected. I didn't have enough of the healthy flora in order to lubricate naturally the right way. And so the scar tissue was just it was just really painful.
Yeah, gosh.
And so anyways, it all works together. All this to say,
amazing.
The pelvic floor physical therapy and helping get my hormones back on track, things.
But a lot of people go like, man, how did you do that, Jay? And I'm like, we talked about it and we were still both engaged.
Yeah.
And it was a really cool, like, actually that's part of what expanded us into, you know, different things because now like
being open to things other
that's
than
that's not an option.
Now intercourse is not an option.
Yeah. Intercourse isn't an option. And actually like you can have a really cool sex life.
I remember us going months without intercourse and I only remembered it upon reflection because our sex life was amazing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, we didn't actually have intercourse during this like 3 month period. Well, I didn't even know personally, I didn't even notice cause it was great anyways.
Yeah. So it changes, you know, it changes from when you're first married to when you've been married a long time.
Yeah.
And mostly I think the, like when you're really pregnant too, and you just physically can't do what you used to do.
Yeah.
So you got to get really creative.
You can't find the hole sometimes. You're like, there's so much belly. I don't even know what's happening.
It's true. You know, and like we can no longer do missionary position anymore. I can't access.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that changes, it changes everything. And so.
I was going to say, can I say one other shift that we had seasonally is Aaron. And I think like, and we hear this kind of common with couples is the husband realizes that outside of sex, they don't actually know how to get needs met. Like they only know almost like it's like one tool for any needs, like sexual will meet the need versus
regulate
like,
emotionally, feel like I'm not alone.
Vulnerability. So it's like they're it's like one tool versus the woman has a few tools. So then they're wanting to overuse it to write in
That's
ways great. That they should have up other
That's
tools.
Great.
Yeah.
So the helpful part, I think we see a lot of marriages get breakthrough when the husband's like, oh, it's not actually you. I should have more tools. Like this isn't a one-stop shop for all my needs. This is for my sexual needs. Yes. But for regulation, for friendship connection.
Yeah.
Like a lot of guys are like, oh, I'm actually lonely in general because I don't know how to have a deep relationship with dudes, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to have more sex to fix the part that sex is never going to fix.
Yeah.
You know? So that's been huge for like, and then the woman not realizing what she, like the pressure, it's never enough. Like actually even just that's the difference of a difference of appetites actually like, oh, you're just using one tool where I have a few tools to get different needs met. Mm-hmm.
That is really profound actually. And it does remind me, I mean, I was really thinking about how, in general, I think that the drive to make sure that your marriage and that your emotional world is healthy and thriving is so important because when I think about getting into those seasonal hard spots of like, I don't know, we're having babies or work is really stressful or, you know, some people who have to travel for work or do, you know, just like wild life circumstances come about. And I think that when you have a really thriving connection inside of your marriage, you can go sometimes, mm-hmm. you can actually afford less sexual connection than you would prefer.
You've got bandwidth.
You have bandwidth, you have margin, you have like really money in the bank, so to speak. Yeah. Like when your connection is really strong, you have things to pull from when sex isn't an option. Because gosh, like, I mean, he had a knee surgery last 2 years ago.
It wouldn't have stopped me. And,
well, I mean, it did for a minute. Like you were peeing in a bottle. You couldn't get out of bed. Sure. Like sure it was really bad. But I think about people who go through wild circumstances.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And all it does for me is go, okay, like I cannot afford in marriage, the best thing I could do for my sex life actually is to just continually aim myself at building a really strong connection with Jay across the board.
Yeah, yeah, that's like, so good.
Really strong emotional, relational connection inside of marriage is the absolute most important thing.
That's it.
Guys, y'all are awesome for coming in. And
thanks for having us. Yeah, love it.
So open.
This episode is fire.
Yeah, it's great.
This is a great conversation.
It is.
Guys, listeners, I just challenge you. Get this episode out. Spread it far and wide. People need to know these things.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's an important conversation.
Listen, y'all, if you're on that marriage journey, if you're married and you're trucking down that road, we want to partner with you. We want to help you grow a strong, healthy marriage. We have our marriage intensive that's out. It's going to launch when, babe?
Well, registration is open. The first date of the intensive is April 16th. And so, hop over to jasonandlaurenvalatin.com for registration information.
We hope that you all love this and have loved this little series that we're doing on sex and marriage. Stay tuned for next week's episode. We're going to dive deeper and just unpack more. But if you are loving it, please share it. Subscribe to our podcast. Leave a comment. That helps us so much. It really helps us spread the word. And it helps the algorithms as well. Otherwise, you know, if you're married, go have that good sex.
Oh my gosh.
In the day.
Yes. On the calendar.
Yes. All right, y'all. All right. Have a great week. Bye. We'll see you next week. Bye.